Let's just keep standing for a minute. Let's just be still. Let's be quiet before the Lord. Stories. The Bible actually is just a whole composition of many different stories of many different individuals in the Bible, and they are threaded together in a powerful way, in a way that is actually woven into a big story. And we're all part of that. A story that I love, which we're going to draw on a little bit today, is the story of Abraham. And Abraham's story is kind of notable for the fact that it turns up in four different scripture passages, four different books of the Bible. There's not many people who can have that sort of claim to fame, for want of a better word. But Abraham's story is in Genesis. Abraham's story is in the book of Hebrews. Abraham's also referred to in the book of James. And Abraham's referred to in a fourth book I can't remember right now. It's in my notes. But I love the story of Abraham. And today I'm picking up the thread of his story in perhaps a space that you may not have noticed before, because it might even be your space today. It is that space where we think maybe nothing is happening, but God is about to turn up and to disrupt our story. I wonder if that's going on today. In the book of Genesis 21, and by this stage in Abraham's life, this great man of God who is very senior, he's weathered all the big things of having a promise, leaving his hometown, following God into a strange country. He's weathered that test when God turns up and says, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a father of many nations, and I'm going to give you a promised son. And then he waits and he waits and he waits and he waits and then he waits and then he waits even more. By the time we meet Abraham in Genesis 21, he already has the promised son. He already has great wealth. He already is, if you like, a proven legend of God. He already qualifies to be in the Hall of Fame of faith in Hebrews 11. By the time we meet him in this chapter, much has already happened in his life, but God has more for him. God has more for him. And today I suggest that sometimes it is in those places where we have come to a certain amount of maturity, a certain amount of establishment in our faith, a certain amount of having learnt some lessons, a certain amount of having proven God, and a certain amount of having a testimony of God's goodness, certain experience we can draw on to reference who God is and our personal relationship with him. It can be at those times sometimes, as it was with Abraham, that God wants to turn up and do more. So in Genesis 21, right at the end of the chapter, at end of chapters can be significant because we can catch a thread that if we are just kind of wanting to get on with the story, we might miss it. But at the end of Genesis 21, it says simply this, and Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines many days. Abraham stayed in the land many days. What is the point? Abraham actually, in a sense, was settling and was in a place without change for quite a period. Does that make sense? And the interesting thing is that in the very next chapter, in the very next verse, God turns up and he says, Abraham. And Abraham says, here I am. And out of that story unfolds probably one of the most challenging chapters to get our heads around when God actually asks of Abraham to sacrifice his son. You know the story. His promised son, his only begotten son, Isaac. But there is a knock of disruption on Abraham's door because God comes to him and he says, Abraham. We can learn a lot from Abraham's response, because he instantly says, here I am, here I am. You know, today we live, I believe, in maybe one of the most momentous, disruptive years we've ever seen in our life. Would you agree with me? We live in a time of incredible disruption. Really, we thought it was disruptive enough when we started the year together, right? As a Hive community, those of you who were here, we just come out of and we're still in the fires. And we'd had, you know, an incredible disruption to our nation. And some of us were caught up in that disruption. There was significant disruption, something that really we did not see coming to the extent that it did. And I love history, I love stories, I love getting to know how leaders cope with disruption. Probably one of the most graphic stories at that point that I think is a disruptive story to a nation was the Twin Towers story, right? 9/11, when the current Lord Mayor at that particular time, Rudolph Giuliani, was quoted as grappling with what this phenomenon was that was an unknown. In other words, it was a disaster of a magnitude that had never even been considered or thought of to exist or to happen in the life of a city. It was something that necessarily couldn't be planned for, and yet we have a massive disruption on that date to New York City and to our thinking about what it is that could happen. So today, I believe God, as it were, is disrupting us as a nation. I believe God is disrupting us as a people. I believe God is disrupting us and perhaps disrupting you. And I wonder today if you are a little like Abraham, whether you have gone along for a little while and you've been in a place that you have stayed in and it's been actually quite pleasant and it's been reasonably established and you've been in a reasonable place of security and a reasonable place maybe of financial comfort, maybe a reasonable place of relational stability, I don't know. But I suggest to you that in following Jesus, we will encounter that Jesus is a disruptor. I want to suggest to you that Jesus actually disturbs us in a good way. And perhaps today you might even have, or potentially you might know somebody, let's talk about someone else, that's way easier, who walks around with a do not disturb sign on them. Do you understand? Please do not disturb. You know, when you stay in a hotel and you have the luxury of waking up the next morning and you don't have to rush and you can check out, you get extended checkout, you can have 11 o'clock or something like that and you can order breakfast in and you just put up the little sign on the outside of your room that says, please do not disturb. It's possible to walk in the Christian life and have a please do not disturb sign on us. Do you follow me? And today I believe the Lord would actually want to, by the Holy Spirit, to just, I'm bringing a few thoughts about the positive nature of disruption. You may know that there is a law of motion. I think it might be called Newton's third law of motion. What does the law of motion say? It says that for every action, there is an equal and an opposite reaction. For every action, for every bushfire, for every flood, for every virus, for every disaster, for every catastrophic event, could it be in the spiritual realm there is an equal and opposite reaction that God would want to bring? Have a think about it. I believe that actually is true. Let's do a bit of a word association game. Did you know that the most significant model car that Toyota ever introduced into the marketplace that sort of tipped them into the US market and got them into a level of kind of establishment as a provider of good quality, reasonably priced cars was called the Toyota Corona. Did you know that? Some of you can remember Coronas. Some of you may have even owned one. I'm going back a long time. It was 1967, and some of us were alive then. But the Toyota Corona. Did you know that there is actually a... did you know that around the sun, from a kind of astronomical language point of view, around the sun is something called a corona? It actually exists around the sun. If I had time, I'd have your picture on the screen. But it's actually that kind of radius, that glowing radius around the sun is called a corona. Did you know that a popular drink, some of us might have enjoyed it, that you put lime in it, Corona beer. Shares allegedly are down about 19% at the moment because of the association people are making with the corona. I wonder right at this moment, I think it's probably fair to say most of us, if we hear the word corona, we think virus, right? But I want to say to you today, and maybe you don't, but I want to say to you today, I believe God is wanting to shift our thinking regarding this name and this association. And I wonder today whether we can think about an epidemic or a virus or something that's catchy and contagious and just takes off around the world. I wonder whether we could think of that in spiritual terms. There's a book called Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell. It's a radical book. It's a book that makes you think. It's a book that actually it was written about 15 years ago, and it studies the nature of viruses. And then it talks about what can we learn from a virus that would help us understand how a revolution could happen, how revival could happen, how a product on the marketplace could actually explode and tip. And today, you might sort of think quizzically about that relationship, but I believe it is a truth today. God would want to take us as a people to understand there is a spiritual law of motion. And I believe God has got some amazing things planned for our nation and for this globe that is coming from this disruption. And I believe today we can begin to pray and think, and it came out a bit in our prayer time before our service today, about an evangelism pandemic. I believe we can begin to dream about Christianity going viral. I believe we can begin to think today about what it will be like to have people out there that we hear, they've come to Jesus, and we think, how did you even meet somebody? people who maybe even don't meet someone, just as people today allegedly are catching the coronavirus. Do you understand what I'm saying? And they can't even work out who they touched or who they met or what the source was. Could it be the Holy Spirit could tip something around the globe today in the same way? Could it be this coronavirus gives us a visual for what it will be like for the gospel to just be globally contagious? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Could it be that God is doing that and disrupting us, disrupting our thinking, disrupting our whole way of seeing this year of influence and this new act? Think about word association. Think about corona and then the two letters R-Y. Think about a coronary. Could it be that the devil is going to get a coronary for the way the church reacts and the way the people of God react and the way we pray into this coronavirus? Do you understand? We need to get a whole new mindset for what it is that God is doing. And today I'm asking you the question, what is your readiness factor? What is your readiness to be disturbed? What is your readiness for presence? What is your readiness to think differently? And what is your readiness for relationship? See, when Abraham was called by God in Genesis 23, and when God says, Abraham, Abraham, he didn't say, bad day, this is my golf day. He didn't say, sorry, I've got plans. He didn't say, sorry, God, can't come and talk to me in 3 days' time. He simply said, here I am. And there are three here I am's in this chapter, and I want to suggest to you, if we're going to be open to disruption, the first place it happens is when we can actually honestly and genuinely present ourselves before the Lord and say, here I am. I'm present. I'm present with you. I think I have some phrase on the screen. Thank you. God is calling us to be present in his presence when there's uncertainty or where there's disruption. Here I am. Everybody say it. Here I am. I believe God is today arousing our curiosity to what it is that he might be doing. You know, we can actually have a reaction to disruption that says, not now, God, or it's bad timing, or please do not disturb. Or we can have another reaction that says in our hearts, what's next, Papa? What have you got planned? What's on today? I'm ready. Here I am. And I love the attitude of Abraham, this older man who, heck, he had been disrupted so many times. Think about what it would be like to be 120 or something like that and have a little tacker and changing nappies and changing your lifestyle and having to buy a new SUV camel or something like that because you need to put a baby seat in it. Yeah. Abraham had already had significant disruption. Do you hear what I'm saying? But he was still open to disruption. Just side note. If today you are seeking to experience the divine energy, the divine health, the life-giving power of Jesus in you, and for aging and getting older to not be something that slows you down, guess how you can do that? It can be with your here I am. God, I'm ready. God, I'm open. Bring it on, God. What have you got planned? It's a wonderful, wonderful truth. Here I am. But here I am is also actually a heart of worship. It is a heart of trust. I believe God calls us to take everything we have, present it to him. Romans 12 says this, as living sacrifices. And I believe that today God is actually calling us to represent ourselves to him and say, here I am. God, it's like it's yours. That was Abraham's heart because in a few verses' time, when God says to him, I want you to go and offer up your only son, his here I am did not change. I wonder today what it might be that God might be calling of us to give, or calling of us to think differently about, or calling of us to present to him on the way through to this pandemic of wonderful change that God might bring to our nation. I wonder what you are prepared to let go of in order to be ready for what God's going to do. Yesterday, I went to a seminar with Tim, actually, and it was about disruption, and it was quite challenging. It was at moments it was funny, other times it was kind of not funny because it cut a little bit close to the bone. But the speaker there said, a way to be more open is to get out of control every day. Get out of control every day. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? If we're to be open to disruption and to be open to what the Lord might be doing, open to the new things that he's got for us, he said, get out of control every day. How do you do that? He said, well, go home a different way. just for the heck of it. Go home a different way. Try some different food. Read a book from someone who maybe you completely disagree with or even hate. Have a conversation with somebody who you know will have a different view to you. Get out of control. Wear something different. I wasn't quite up for that today, but I did. I thought about it. It's kind of halfway there. If I wore a baseball cap, even I have this private conversation, which is just now beginning made public, about baseball caps sort of don't cut it. And why would you wear a cap when you're inside? That doesn't make sense. But if you follow my thinking, are you ready for what God might be doing? And how stuck or how flexible are you in how you do things and what you're open for? Because God actually challenged Abraham to do something that was completely bizarre. And even I've had conversations with people at various times, almost is inviting, you know, if you, cannibalism and all those kinds of things. You just can't get your head around it. But Abraham's here I am did not change. So get out of control. Be open. Abraham, I think, is a great example. The reason I say that too is because as the story unfolds, God actually calls him to go to Mount Moriah. This is where Jesus was sacrificed. This is actually the very hill that became Golgotha. And today, I believe, as a church, as a people, God might be calling us to go to our own personal Mount Moriah, to actually go to a place that is of greater sacrifice, greater giving, greater risk-taking. We talked about kingdom risk last time. But I then had come to my second, the second I am, here I am in the story. The second here I am in the story is where Abraham is now on the hill and he said goodbye to his servants and he's only with Isaac and he binds Isaac to the altar. Just such a challenging thing to consider how this young man even let his father do it and trusted him, but he did. And Abraham is now standing and his son is bound to the altar. The firewood is ready and the torch of flame is ready and the son looks to him and he says, Father. And Abraham says, here I am, my son. This is the language of deep, intimate relationship in the middle of an intense disruption and challenge. And I encourage us as a people in our own relational worlds, if it is with your own children or with your own best friends or with your spouses, with your partners, whatever it is, that it's not only is our here I am to God, but our here I am is also expressed to each other. Do you understand what I'm saying? The here I am is a here I am of intimacy. It's a here I am of sharing and being open and disclosing, and it's something in our own arena, even I are feeling, you know, more and more challenged about how we can have a here I am with people that we know that is open and more transparent and more sharing. That's the here I am God's calling us to, do you understand? And that is a here I am that actually prepares for disruption. Because in the heart of Abraham, and this is reinforced in the book of Romans, Abraham had this hunch that there could be a resurrection coming. Did you know that? The book of Romans is very clear that Abraham in his heart thought, well, if I'm going to sacrifice my son and if he is going to die, then God's planning a resurrection. That's actually what the book of Romans says. Abraham said with complete conviction to his servants, we, meaning my son and I, will return. Such a powerful thing. He knew God wanted him to offer his son, but he said to the servants, we're coming back. We, not just me, we're coming back. And today I encourage us, we need to have a resurrection mindset towards the coronavirus. We need to have a resurrection mindset towards whatever disruption might be going on in your personal world. Maybe right now for you, the coronavirus or the fires are not really the deal. Maybe there's something else for you that is completely the thing, that is your challenge to keep here I am with God. Maybe there's a personal crisis that is completely right now, known only to you. or maybe one or two other people. But I encourage us today that disruption is a doorway to more. Disruption is a doorway to more. It's a doorway to more grace. It's a doorway to more understanding of who God is. It's a doorway to more revelation about the resurrection. It's a doorway to more intimacy with God. Disruption is something that we welcome with our "Here I Am" because we actually understand it is a doorway to more. We have two alternatives when God disrupts us. We can withhold or we can engage with it. Abraham could have withheld his son and said, "God, it doesn't make sense. This is my promised son. This is the seed of my future. I can't do it. It doesn't make sense to me." He could have withheld. And today, there's something maybe that you could withhold, but the Lord is saying to you, rather than withhold, give, right? Rather than withhold, engage with God's presence. Rather than hold, worship. I'm stunned by the fact that worship and doubt go together. Worship and withholding are in tension with each other. If we withhold, it affects our worship. If we withhold, it affects our worship. If we come here and there's a part of us that is saying to God, I just can't do that, or I'm not willing to give that, or struggling with something that you felt in your heart that God's asked you to do and you are withholding, then that will affect your worship. But worship actually is not only what we've done today, it includes that obviously, but worship is as much surrender and as much sacrifice. And I think there's this big overlap between true worship, a heart of worship, and a willingness to say to God, "Here I am, and you can disrupt me, and you can do what you will with me." That is worshipful to God. That is so worshipful to God. So I think today we perhaps need a new frame to consider disruption. To quote something that we heard yesterday, when disruption happens, we can actually receive it as an invitation, if you like, a storm. In a storm, we can batten down and just exist, or we can actually engage with that storm and we can use the storm. I'll say that again. When storms come in our lives, whether they be big events, big crises like we've been discussing this morning, or whether they be a personal storm, we have the option to actually simply exist and to, I was looking for the right page in my notes here, to we can weather the storm or we can use the storm. We can weather the storm and we can simply just get through it, or we can use the storm. There will be some businesses in our nation that will not be able to weather this storm. Apparently there are two airlines already in the UK that are in receivership because of the coronavirus. There'll be some businesses that cannot survive. There'll be some that get by on the skin of their teeth. There'll be other businesses who understand the potential of disruption, who actually will use it and profit by it and make it work, and will come through with shining colours. That is the nature of how we can, with variation, respond to disruption. Do you understand me? And I believe that's our choice today as a people. It is a choice to consider how God can we use the storms that are in our own personal life, in big life of our nation. How can I become, walk more deeply and more intimately with you? How can I experience and understand more of the power of resurrection? How can I walk around with an expectation? Well, God, I don't know how I'm going to come back with my son, but you obviously are planning a resurrection. How can I actually bring resurrection thinking and resurrection mindset into my own arena? That is the invitation I think God is bringing us into today. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I think there's a challenge this morning to consider, how settled are we? I mean, routine, I will say there's good things about routine. However, God is into unsettling us. Jesus is a disruptor. Jesus, in Revelation 3, verse 20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That scripture is actually not only In fact, I've heard it used many times as perhaps an invitation to salvation. It isn't that. It's Jesus knocking on the door of someone who is already a believer, and he's saying, I want to come in. I want to disrupt you. I want to have more of you. I want to have more of your time. I want to have more space in your heart. I want to actually get to know you. I want you to get to know me. I want you to get out of control enough to let me in a bit more into my life. So how curious are you? We're part of a massive adventure. Did you know that? We're part of a massive adventure as followers of Jesus. We really are. And those of you who might enjoy adventure sports and that kind of thing, and following Jesus is just way, way, way more exciting than the best adventure adrenaline junkie experience can offer you. And today, Jesus, I believe, is calling us to be curious, to have in our hearts, what's next, Papa? What are you planning to do? Someone has quoted, and I looked it up. Some people claim it was a newspaper man who said this. Others claim it was an artist who said it. I've heard it preached as if the preacher invented this phrase. But have you heard the phrase that about comforting the disturbed and disturbing the comforted? Disturbing the comfortable, I'm sorry. So some people would describe the gospel, and I think it's true, that Jesus came to comfort the disturbed and to disturb the comfortable. The message of Jesus, the reality of the gospel, everything that Jesus came to do, Isaiah 61, requoted in the book of Luke, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, you know, to bring comfort. He is a comforter. And the Holy Spirit is a comforter. The Holy Spirit is described in John chapter 14 as someone who is a comforter. And without doubt, we all, I'm sure at various times, have been blessed by the comforting power of Jesus, right? By him bringing comfort into our circumstances. That is who he is, and that's what he does. But he also comes to disturb us when we're too comfortable. I think he does both. He comes to comfort us, and he comes to disturb us, because to be too comfortable is actually to be stuck. To be too comfortable is to probably come towards what I put on my notes here, that comfort can be the cloak of calcification. Comfort can be the cloak of calcification. In other words, comfort can look good on the outside, but on the inside we can be calcifying, or if you like, atrophying, or all those types of adjectives that you can use to describe the fact that we can actually be slowly dying on the inside and look comfortable on the outside. That's not what we want, right? We want to be open to God and his disturbance and to his unsettling us. And I believe today he's saying to us, come away with me. He's on the door. He's knocking on the door. Come away with me. Like, look, get on board again with this adventure I'm calling you to. Be willing to think differently. Be willing to do different things. Be willing to get out of control. Be willing to be curious. Be willing to be expectant. And someone has said that by the year 2035, that what once would have taken 6 months, what once would have taken a whole century to bring about in terms of amount of change, in the year 2035, that amount of change will take place in 6 months. I'm going to say that again. That we are, in other words, in an era of rapid change. The amount of change that took place in the 20th century, by the time we get to into the future, I heard it said 2035, that amount of change will actually take place in far shorter periods, maybe even over a six-month period. I believe we're in a period coming where there's rapid change. I believe God wants to disrupt us. He wants us to think about how could church look? How could it be that we can engage with the younger generation and with families? What's that going to take? How willing are we to change as a people, to even let go of some of the things that we think are important for how we gather? Maybe such that how we do things and what we do might actually be more in line with the millennials who are leaving the church at a rapid rate. Are we willing to be disrupted, to let go of some of our traditions and ways of doing things such that we can actually be ready for the global harvest that God wants to bring? Are we willing? I believe God is calling us to just to be willing to be disturbed. He's saying, come away with me. Come away with me. And the best thing that you can say is, here I am. Because the third here I am in this story, the first one was when God comes and says, Abraham, he says, here I am. The second one is where his son says to him, Father, and he says, here I am. The third here I am in the story happens at the end of it all, when the angel of the Lord comes, reveals the lamb in the thicket, and there's no need for Isaac to be killed. And then there's a third here I am, and in this here I am, God says to him, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply you. What is the point? Our here I am and our openness to disruption, our here I am in the middle of disruption and the willingness to be vulnerable and share our feelings and be open relationally with those around us in the middle of an unresolved disruption is always followed by significant blessing. Always. There's always more blessing and more goodness of God to receive. Do we want that today? I believe that actually comes on the back of the first two here I ams. It comes on the back of that. So disruption, rapid acceleration in the purposes of God, disguised as discomfort. And today I think the best thing we can do is say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. I'm curious, what have you got planned? So as we close, just invite you to kind of shift around a bit if you need to wriggle. But I'm just going to ask you a question. Maybe there's somebody listening to me today who would say, David, in truth, I've never really said, here I am, to God before. I've never really been willing to start a relationship with him. I haven't even understood how it is that I could be in relationship with God the Father. Maybe that's you. You know, today, some of you read a verse of the day on the Bible app. Today, that particular verse is John 14, verse 6, and it's Jesus talking. He says, I am the way. In fact, in one version on our app, it says, I am the road. I am the way, I'm the pathway, I'm the way you can travel through me to the Father. I'm the truth, I'm the life. And today, I simply say the good news of the gospel is that Jesus has come. Jesus has given his life for you and for me. Jesus has actually made a way that we can have relationship with a loving Heavenly Father, God. Jesus has made a way that the problem of relationship that can only be dealt with one way, now the problem is our sinfulness. The problem is our inability to ever be good enough for God. Jesus has made a way because he says, I'll take care of that. I'll pay for that. That's mine. Isn't it great when you're in a restaurant and someone says, just order what you want. I'm picking up the tab. Jesus has picked up the tab. There's nothing to pay. There never will be a future debt to pay. It's covered. Your sinfulness, my sinfulness, is covered. How does that occur? It simply happens when we say to Jesus, here I am. And I want to say thank you, and I receive your free gift. Thank you for making a way. I want relationship with the Father, and I thank you for showing me that. And I'm just going to pray that right now. Maybe as I pray, if you could close your eyes. Maybe I'm praying with a room today where you've already made that decision, had that conversation. I'm not sure, but I want to make sure today that there's no one in the room who does not know how it is they can come to Jesus. And this is simply a conversation that we have through talking. So I thank you, God, today. I thank you for sending your son. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the way and that you've paid the price and there's nothing for me to pay. And I want to receive that gift. I receive it by faith. I thank you for your great grace. I thank you for your generosity. And I receive now that free gift and I receive relationship with God the Father. And I pray this in your name. Amen. 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 So that's good. I want you to stand and simply... Today, in standing, is an invitation to go home with, on your heart, speak, Lord, I want to hear you, and I want to be ready for any version of disruption that you bring. Speak, Lord. And if you can just whisper that or just say it quietly, speak, Lord, your servant hears. Just do that now in the quietness of your heart. Just express in your own words your readiness to embrace Jesus and anything and everything that he wants to bring into your world, to help you see how what looks like it is uncomfortable actually is a doorway to more. What looks like it is a disruption is a doorway to destiny. Isn't that wonderful? That's actually what I believe the goodness of God is about today. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I release over this beautiful people, God, your grace. Your grace, Lord, your strengthening, your empowerment, the wonderful indwelling richness of the Holy Spirit in us to prompt us, to bring us into more, to comfort us, to explain things to us. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here right now, to every willing heart, God, to everybody who just wants to re-embrace and say, here I am, you're here. So I thank you, God, that you're doing something wonderful. God, beyond the stuff that we see and beyond what the media describes and all those things, God, we believe in faith that you are planning something incredible. God, we just want to change language today and prepare our hearts, God, for a global pandemic. God, for a billion soul harvest. God, that they're saying in the press that this whole situation could cost our economy $4 billion. So just because of fear. So God, today we claim back for every one of those dollars that is expended through fear. We claim one life. God, we claim salvation. God, we claim interruption. God, we claim people coming to Jesus. We claim, God, the gospel going viral. God, we claim, God, something breaking out, God, amongst the younger people in our world. God, amongst millennials. God, those who have walked away from church. God, those who have walked away from faith. God, those for whom faith does not seem relevant. I thank you, God, you're planning something. And God, we call out in Jesus' name, God, your power. God, the power of the Holy Ghost to speak, to interrupt, to bring encounters. God, to bring the word of salvation, the word of truth. And God, we thank you. God, we praise you. God, we lift up your name. We say, God, your name is higher than any other. God, we say your name is higher than any virus. God, your name is higher than any plan of the enemy. And God, we speak today a coronary attack, God, a heart attack to the enemy. God, we're coming after every good thing you have for us. And we embrace all the things, God, and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen.